We're back to the Neil Harry Show. I'm excited to welcome first my co-host, Cowboy 347, Damon Harper. Damon, what's going on, man? Excited about our guest?
Absolutely. Super honored to be here.
All right. And our guest today is New York Times bestselling author Steve Barry. And he's the co-author of The Ninth Man. How are you, Steve? And man, this is different for you, right? We talk always about what Cotton Malone. Now we're going to talk about The Ninth Man. So it's got to be an interesting change.
It is. Luke Daniels is a secondary character in the Cotton series, and I've been wanting to give him his own book for a long, long time, and I pitched the idea to Grand Central and my publisher, and they said, sure, let's do it. But the problem for me is I can't write two books a year. Too much research, too much going involved to do it. So I called up Grant Blackwood and asked him if he would help me out, and he did, and we put together a really good thriller here.
Okay. Good, Damon. What question you have?
Super honored to share this space with you. In regards to The Ninth Man, and I've read your prior project, and just in the self-gratification of the content development of this project, right? What was the emotional goal, right, that you was trying to make the most prevalent message when doing this project?
Well, when I write a novel, there's only one goal in mind every novel I write, and that is to entertain people. I mean, I'm an entertainer. That's what I do. I give you some joy and fun for a little while to forget your troubles and have a good time. Now, if along the way I can inform you a little bit, that's a secondary thing, and it's good. But the entertainment takes primary, right at the top. This book is interesting because it deals with the Kennedy assassination. It deals with something from the assassination that I doubt very few readers will be familiar with. It's something real. It's something interesting. It's something that I've been fascinated with for a number of years, and I was finally able to put it into a thriller.
Now, when you think about the Kennedy assassination, wow, there's still a lot of, conspiracy theorists about it and everything, but it seems so, so real still, right? Even though, I remember growing up I was born in 73. So we talked a little bit more about a Kennedy assassination versus now, where some people were like, Kennedy assassination. It rocked the world in so many ways and so many things. And that's what's really going to intrigue people, the readers, right?
It's a great mystery. It's a mystery that will never be solved. All of the participants are gone. All of the investigations that were done were tainted in one way or the other. The Warren Commission was tainted. The two congressional investigations tainted. No one's really looked at this objectively. The one theory that intrigued me is the one we've used here in this book, and it's not mine. It comes from a nonfiction book published in the early 90s called Mortal Error. And I got the theory from there. This man spent a number of years researching things. He did a really good job of it. And it offers a very plausible explanation as to what may have happened that day. One, as I said, made for a great thriller. I wish I could tell you what the theory is, but it'll give away too much of the novel.
And you're right. It is a great mystery. I mean, there's so many different avenues of perspectives, even, just from the Kennedys' general family lineage to Arnold Schwarzenegger, right? But in regards to this particular novel, right, and listening to your last answer, what is the fun part about like the universal reception of everybody that your audience?
Well, the fun part of writing a book is creating something completely from scratch out of nothing and making a story out of it. That does have an element of fun to it. I'm always asked, what's the most satisfying moment of writing a novel? Well, the most satisfying moment is when you write the last word, because you've actually accomplished it and put it together. So there is that element of here. This one, as I said, was a complicated theory. It never quite worked for Cotton Malone. I couldn't make it work for Cotton, but it worked well here. And we were able to take this theory that has a lot of aspects and interesting little facets to it and put it down into a thriller that was fun. I mean, this is a great race through Belgium and then down to Luxembourg and then back to the United States, to Louisiana, to Dallas, and finally up into Wyoming. So it's a great trip around the world. It's a lot of fun, and you're going to learn something that I think is going to go like, wow, I had no idea that was the case.
So writing that book, having a co-author, that's great, right? You said you could not do two books in one year.
No, I could not write two by myself, but I've never written a full-length novel with someone before. It worked out very well here. Grant wrote the first draft of the novel. The actual idea of the novel was mine. I gave him the idea. I roughed out an outline, and I told him, though, you're not bound by this outline. You can do it however you want. I'm just giving you my thoughts. Then he wrote a first draft, and we knew this was going to be problematic here because he's never written for me before, so he needs to write my voice. He also needs to write Luke Daniels very well. He's never written him before, so we knew this was going to be a bit of a problem. I said, just give it your best shot. He did. Sent it to me. I rewrote the novel from start to finish. I just rewrote the whole thing, put it in my voice, and filled in all the things that needed to be done. Then we went back and forth and made it work. So it was a lot of fun, and it worked, and we're going to do two more.
All right. That's awesome. I would just like to say thank you for continuing to have the audacity to be a creative with all the success that you've procured up until this point. And in regards to the future, what is the, just from where you're at right now, what is the next thrill going to be, seeing the sweat equity that you put into these novels, these prior novels?
Go ahead. Yeah. Oh, there's going to be, as I said, two more Cop Malones. Two more Luke Daniels books. We're finishing up the second one now. It's going to be out next year. It's called Red Star Falling, and it deals with something from Russia that's always fascinated me, the Library of Ivan the Terrible, which disappeared in the 15th century. And then something left over from the Cold War that go together. And the third book we're working on now to begin the outline of it, to get ready for it. For me, Cop Malone will be back next February with a book called The Atlas Maneuver. He'll come back back to his yearly adventure. And it deals with something that's fascinated me for a long, long time. That's Bitcoin. I knew very little about it, but I've learned a lot about it. And the reader's going to learn a lot about it in this novel.
All right. So like when you do this, and this is kind of things for people that might not know your work, you're taking different historical events and throw the characters into them. So yes. It's not like you're going from 1 year to 1 year. You're going to just different parts of history and relating that. That's really cool.
All of my books deal with something from the past, something real, something different in each one that still has relevance today. That's very important. It still has to matter today, because it's a modern day thriller. So all of my books deal with that. I have a wide range of stuff. I've gone over all history all over the place. So, readers can learn more about those at my website, steveberry.org. All the books are there and they can see which one interests them.
I wanted to ask you in regards to, just other things that you have going on in terms of brand awareness. What are some other things you have going on next to this project you have?
Well, that's kind of cool. It's kind of interesting. Later this year, there's going to be a line of luggage with my name on it, which is kind of interesting. The Lug brand, L-U-G, the Lug brand is a very popular brand of bags that are made primarily for women. Huge brand they have. And they approached me about doing a male version because they want to do some male stuff. So we're going to do a very interesting suitcase, shoulder bags, computer bags, backpacks, and it'll be the Steve Berry brand, which is kind of cool. I never thought in a million years I'd have luggage with my name on it. But
got a nice ring to it.
Yeah, it was kind of cool. And I travel a lot, so I was participated in the design of these bags. I designed them the way I like them, the things I like in a bag when I'm moving around and how we're doing things, particularly the suitcase, a very unique suitcase that we've designed that may make traveling a little bit easier. So that's something I'll be doing later this year. And then I'll hopefully get to keep writing Cop Malone and some other books.
That's the cool thing, right? You never know what next to write and what's going to happen. And we talked about optioning. That's the challenge, right? You keep optioning things. You really want these characters at one point to be in the film, especially now with the writer's strike. It's really hard to think about, but do you think it's going to happen at one point?
Oh, I don't know. I kind of gave up on it, to be honest with you. I've been optioned like about 12 times. I don't even know how many times I've been optioned. 12, 15 times. Been a lot of options. Nothing's ever come of any of it. So I kind of gave up on it. If it happens one day, it'd be marvelous and great, but I don't really sit around and dwell on it or worry about it too much.
What are your thoughts of the writer's strike and what's happening now with Hollywood and all that?
Well, you know, they have to make their point, but at some point they need to sit down and work it out. You know, they're going to work it out eventually. Why not go ahead and work it out, you know, instead of beating everybody down? But, you know, these things have to run their course till they get to a point where the parties sit down and say, okay, I'm ready to make a deal now.
When people start reading books more than go to movies, right?
Oh, it would be nice, wouldn't it, if they start that, right? You know, start buying a bunch of books. That would be kind of, you know, it'd be really nice. Yeah, that would be a nice switch over. Yeah.
It's going to happen. I mean, the other content creators, and it's crazy about the writer's strike, and the fact is that they don't want people to create on YouTube, even if it's not Hollywood stuff, which is crazy. So you're at the point where you're going to hold hostage. That's like the NFL holding hostage. Remember the days of the scab strikes in 89? Say, oh, by the way, any other professional, any sports team should all honor this strike. No, that's where it's getting a little.
That's not how things work. You have your strike and it's your issue and it's your fight. It's not all of our fight.
No. Right. Exactly. Good, Damon. Next question.
No, I was actually going to ask if the strike was affecting, you know, your marketing strategy this year at all. I'm not sure if, you know, you are part of the WGA or the SGA in Hollywood or anything like that.
No, I'm not a member of any of that. I write novels, and so I'm a lone guy out here all by myself. We don't have any organization. It's just us.
You have conversations with writers that are right in Hollywood that are under the strike process?
I don't know any screenwriters. I really don't know any. I've never really dealt with them out there very much at all. I've dealt with producers, but I've never really dealt with them. No, I wish them all the best, but it's just something that doesn't like we say where I come from. I don't have a dog in that fight.
So I was on Clubhouse, which is a social audio app, and literally they were saying they're trying to stop creators from creating YouTube, even if it's non-Hollywood stuff, which is crazy, saying that. And if let's say I ran one of my interviews from one of the, you know, Emmy Award winning actors I've interviewed or Academy Award winners, I would get blackballed by SAG. I'm like, well, what is happening? So as you said, there's a different game. Hopefully it will get done. So what feedback so far people had on the book? What have you been getting?
It's been great. I mean, it's been wonderful. You know, it's an off brand because it's not Cotton Malone, but it is from Cotton's World. So you expect to be a little drop in things, but the sales have been very strong. We were number 8 on the Times list. So we did very well there. And so far it's been doing great. And it's a really good book. I'm very proud of it. It's a great story.
How many New York Times bestselling books do you have now?
21, but the first two were on the extended list, you know, from back then it was 15 to 35 was the extended list. I made the New York Times list of top 15 for the first time with my third book. So technically they've all been on the list, but in the top 15, 22 of my 24 books. Yes.
And see, he niched down. And you niched down with his history and figured it out with some other things that were really popular and jumped on it. I still think you'll end up with some movie. I think this is the time to option because you never know. Other people might be giving up. And then might be the time, right? Exactly.
Yeah, Ninth Man would make a great film. It really would.
It totally would. Best place people can find info on you is go to?
Everything's at my website, steveberry.org. You can learn all about me, the books, everything's there.
All right, Steve, we appreciate it, sir.
Thank you for having me.
All right, you're listening and watching The Neil Haley Show, and we'll be back in just a moment.